You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily podcast on the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Locked On Cavaliers podcast. As always, I'm Chris Manning, your host from FearTheSword.com and the Step Back. Today, we're going to run through Cavs-Hawks. The Cavs pick up their 10th straight win, continuing to play some of the best basketball of their season with a 121-114 win over Atlanta in Atlanta to extend that winning streak to 10. Kevin Love, 25 points and 16 rebounds. LeBron James, 24 points, 12 assists, 6 rebounds. Dwayne Wade, 19 points off the bench. Jetty Osman also got some run, which we'll get into later in this podcast. Overall, the Cavs overcame some bad defensive effort, overcame the Hawks being pretty pesky, overcame some really bad Jose Calderon minutes. We'll get into all that later. Got a couple news things we want to go through first. First up, Tristan Thompson. Per Cleveland.com's Joe Vardon, the Cavs are targeting next week for Tristan's return. That means he could return Monday against the Bulls, against the Kings at home on Wednesday, in Indiana against the Pacers on Friday, and then at home against the 76ers on Saturday. Per the report, the team would like Thompson to get some practice in before he does play. So that would lead me to believe that this is something like he's going to play later in the week. So Monday, in my mind, would be a bit of a surprise. This is a Cavs team that doesn't practice a lot either. This is a Cavs team that really rests its older veteran guys more often than not. So with Tristan Thompson needing some practice time, you kind of have to look at the schedule. So the Cavs play on Saturday. Then they play Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. That's kind of hard to squeeze in some practice there. So maybe this gets pushed back. Maybe for Tristan that means they sneak in an extra practice on an off day. Maybe Wednesday or in Indiana or something like that. So we'll see. A couple questions about his return. For one, what is his role going to be when he comes back? Is Tristan going to come off the bench? How does this impact Channing Frye's minutes? How does this impact some of these Cavs bench lineups that have been LeBron and Wade or Wade and Korver, et cetera, including Channing Frye, that have been really good so far this season and have been a big reason why the Cavs are on this win streak? These are good problems to have, I would argue, because the Cavs really could use Tristan's rebounding and his switchability. He's one of their best players overall. He's someone that has a lot of value, and I think people forget that sometimes. But if there's a concern, and it's an unavoidable reality, it's that the flow you've seen with the Cavs, with him out, and it's really just over the course of this win streak, that's going to get messed up a little bit when he comes back. You're incorporating someone who's going to do something completely different than what your other bigs do. He's not a stretchy big like Channing Frye. He's not a stretchy big like Kevin Love. He's going to provide you something different, so how do you accommodate to that? That flow is going to get adjusted a little bit. It's going to happen. It's the same thing with when Isaiah comes back. He's going to be a completely different player than what they've had at the point guard position this year. So keep that in mind. I wouldn't judge him and how he looks when he comes back based on that. I think you're looking at someone who probably hasn't been healthy in a long time and needed this rest, and it's going to take some time for him to come back fully and look integrated. And that's just the reality of the situation, but it's worth getting him back. As for the Canton charge, something that people have floated out there for him, I think that could make sense. I think if you're looking at what he is and what he needs, you are looking at someone who maybe does need some reps. NBA teams have started using the G League as a rehab place for their players. So Tony Parker with the Spurs has worked out with the Austin Spurs before he just came back. The problem is, you're not in a situation necessarily where he's coming back from a long-term injury where I think maybe a five-game stint in Canton would make sense, right? Like, I think you're looking at a situation where it's been 13 games, he's been working out recently, he's getting closer and closer. They seem to be talking about practice with him. And I think with this group, you do want to start just integrating everyone as best as you can now. It's better to just rip the Band-Aid off, in my mind, than to delay that. I think with Tristan, if this was a year thing where he's coming off an ACL, I think that makes more sense than what you're looking at right now. But Tristan Thompson is going to be back soon. Isaiah Thomas is going to seem like he's going to be back soon as well, and that puts the Cavs, I think, in a really good spot as they're actually going to start being healthy, and they're going to, and it comes at a time where they're building off success they're having right now. The other news that came out is Amon Shumpert's injury. Now, per the Cavs, he's going to have surgery Friday. That's arthroscopic knee surgery that is going to be done by the Cavs, one of their doctors, Richard Parker, as well as another team doctor at the Cleveland Clinic. Per Adrian Wojnarowski, he's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks due to the surgery. It's the rough estimate right now. This comes after he played against the 76ers earlier this week, played 7 minutes and then didn't play, and then missed the Heat game on Tuesday. This is a blow for the Cavs, because it means Jose Calderon is going to have to continue to be a thing. Calderon was really bad against the Hawks. I think he's a liability in a vacuum, and I think he's been better than expected, but I still think he's a liability. Shumpert was really playing his best basketball as a point guard this year, and I think that's kind of worth thinking about it in a vacuum here. He is only, you know, he's not shooting great. He's playing the lowest minutes of his career, but I think in the minutes he's played a point guard, he's been good and hurt your wing depth. This does, though, mean that Jetty Osman could potentially get more minutes and get a chance to play 10-ish minutes tonight like he did against Atlanta. But you did see, again, on Thursday how the Cavs miss him as Jose Calderon gets ripped up by Dennis Schroeder. Doesn't start the second half. LeBron is the only one there to defend Schroeder based on this personnel that they're using. And you have to just roll with that. We'll see exactly how long he's out. We'll see how the surgery goes. You know, it seems like this is probably something that's been nagging him. He's kind of had a couple issues before, and he's someone that does have a spotty injury past to a degree. So we'll see what this means. And worth noting that this is Shumpert's left knee. When he tore his ACL back when he was with the Knicks, that was his left knee as well. So just keep that in mind. This is the same knee that he did tear his ACL. And again, we will see how long he's out. We don't know that these things are related, but that's a concern with Shumpert. You have to kind of wonder how healthy he's ultimately going to be. Before we get into the game, just a reminder that you can find Locked On Cavaliers on iTunes, and we'd really appreciate it if you go on there, you leave a 5-star rating and review, and you support the podcast. It is the absolute best way to get to support the show is to go there and to leave a 5-star rating and review. Really appreciate it. Appreciate everyone that's already done it and has supported the show that way, and thank you for doing it. So now we'll get into the game. As always, the good, the bad, the player of the game, stat of the game, and what's next. The good. LeBron was awesome in this game. You saw Atlanta has no answer for him. He had a couple of really outstanding blocks. What to me stood out for him in this game more than anything was how he defended Dennis Schroeder in the second half. Schroeder is quick. He's not a perfect point guard. I'm pretty low on him in general, but LeBron did something where he moved his feet back and he let Schroeder drive into him and then reacted and kind of took away Schroeder's space that way. He was really, really good at doing that. That set the tone for the Cavs defensively in the second half, and I think it was the right move by Lou. You don't see this LeBron all the time. You don't see effort LeBron in defense all the time. You saw it in this game where he wasn't always a good version of LeBron in that end of the floor. But you did see LeBron that in different parts of this game had really good moments. He had that block that where he looked like he almost popped the ball. He had the block of Schroeder in crunch time. It comes off a game where against the Heat, I wrote about this, he was really good in help defense and was picking off passes and doing a Jabril Peppers at Michigan impersonation, not Jabril Peppers with the Browns. LeBron was really good in this game. He dominates these guys, and the Cavs are doing something with him this year where they're turning to him late in games to be their defensive stopper. So far this year, Jay Crowder is not part of those closing lineups. We'll see what they exactly look like in a few months. You know, will they include Isaiah, Crowder, Thompson? Right now, it's LeBron, JR, Wade, Love, the kind of guys you would expect. LeBron is turning into that defensive stopper at the end of games, and he's done really well. Did it against Porzingis, not did it against Dennis Schroeder. Was good on defense against the Heat. Little instances there where LeBron has, you know, obviously been otherworldly on offense, having one of his best offensive seasons ever, but is doing another thing at a really, really high level. Dwayne Wade. Look, really good for Dwayne Wade in this game. 6-11 from the field, 3-5 from three. Keeps commanding that second unit, so one on both ends of the floor. You know, maybe because he's playing fewer minutes and he knows he doesn't have to do as much on offense, maybe that's leading to him being a little bit better on defense, but you have to like what we've seen out of him. He blocked a shot in this game, 2 steals. and he again remains surprisingly useful on defense in these games. His three-point shooting is something that I don't expect to keep up. And this is a third game in a row where he's hit at least 1 3. It's a very small sample size. He doesn't have a history of being a three-point shooter, but he's willingly taken them, and teams are giving them to him. So maybe that's something for him where that can continue to be a thing, and that would be a positive development for the Cavs as well. Kevin Love, just real quick, 25 points and 16 boards. Very good game for him. Very quiet 25 and 16 considering everything else that went on. He's been really good this year, and I think he, you know, after the Sixers game wasn't perfect for him, but he's been really, really good the last two games. I think he's having a very strong overall season as he continues. LeBron referred to him as an all-star. And Love, for Love, 4-9 from three, got the line 8 times, had the 6 boards, plus 12. You know, handled John Collins, who did leave the game with an injury, but is a very promising rookie. I think you have to like what you got out of one Kevin Love in this game. To look at Jay Crowder real quick, he was 6-10, drove a little bit more. His shot is still a little bit iffy. 2-5 from three, you know, 40% is a good number, but, you know, we'll see how that kind of holds up. But he scored in double digits, played good defense, maximized his 29 minutes in this game, was a plus 7. Little things you want to see him do better. Rebounding in for me and the free throw line are the two things, but the Cavs are now 9-0 when he scores in double figures, and I like to see them find ways to keep making him more comfortable. I think it has to be cutting. I think it has to be kind of what they've done with Jeff Green, where Jeff Green is cutting a lot. They have to do some of that with Crowder instead of having him be stationary. I think those are workable adjustments. I think it becomes even easier when Isaiah comes back because you can pair guys off with better ball handling. But they're 9-0 when he scores in double figures. And to me, that's not, you know, that those stats aren't everything. But I think if you look at what, when you get something out of him, you get useful minutes out of him and production out of him on the offensive end where he's not just clanking threes, it does a lot for the Cavs when they're already getting good offensive performances from other players. Jeff Green, real quick, cutting in this game was very solid. He is at his best when he gets his momentum going, whether that's on a quick dribble drive, whether that's cutting off of other players. And it's not unlike what worked for Derek Williams last year. I'm going to write about this at Fear the Sword. It may not be up if you're listening to this early in the morning, but sometime on Friday there will be a post up about Green's cutting in this game. I think it's something that has made him really valuable. He dunks with authority and finishes with authority, and that's what they want out of him. It's no mistake to me that the shots he made were all shots, 2 off cuts, 2 on dribble drives, or maybe 3 on cuts, 1 on a dribble drive, where he is moving and he's attacking and he's got some kind of momentum. When he is stationary and is posting up or is just going ISO, not as effective, and I think this Atlanta game was a concept of that. For Jetty, real quick, we'll get to what the bad was for him a little bit, but I think his overall night was positive because when he did something bad, he followed up with something good. So, for instance, he had a situation where he blew a layup, but then he followed up by helping set up a Wade steal with good help defense, and then he ran the floor perfectly on the right wing next to Kyle Korver to end up getting the pass and scoring the layup. 11 minutes for him where he just got the play is a good thing for Jetty. As a reminder right now, Fear the Sword is selling a new t-shirt. It is the King X the Killa EST in 2017. If you go to fearthesword.com or click the link in the show notes of this podcast, you can find that shirt. It is support. That money will come back, a little bit of it will come back to help the site. We really appreciate that of you going out and buying our collaborations with Breaking Tea, but it's a really cool shirt. Navy t-shirt, wine and gold, all the Cavs colors, getting excited about LeBron James and Isaiah Thomas really getting to show off that partnership that I think is going to be really strong. They even have a little handshake if you watch the broadcast or saw my tweets about that. But check that shirt out. Click the link in the show notes and go get that tea from our friends over at Breaking Tea. So the bad in this game, you know, there's not a ton to me that is necessarily overall bad. I think there's a couple small things. Number one is the dangers of lazy defense. The Hawks are not a good team by any means, and this is a game that was competitive partially because of how non-engaged the Cavs were on defense. They didn't always close out on shooters. Jose Calderon was really bad, and that's just kind of a product of Jose Calderon being Jose Calderon. But this kind of lays the groundwork in my mind of how the Cavs might lose soon and have this winning streak end. I think you have a lot of games coming up. The Kings and the Bulls Monday, Wednesday, next week are prime examples. That could be trap games that are against teams that are not good. And if you have that and that team comes out firing and gets things going, it happened with almost happened with the Bulls last time, that could be the end of a night for you, and it could end way early. Now, the defense in this game got better late. Lou deserves credit for adjusting lineups to fill in holes. And if we look at this team right now, this does seem to be a team that has a much better identity. Their defensive numbers are so much better on this win streak. But there's a lot of games in the next couple weeks that are like the Hawks, the Bulls, the Kings, several others, that it could be a trap game and the defense could just be lacking, and that could be a problem. Kyle Korver in this game, I don't want to say he was bad, but 2-7, 2 travels. He wasn't a disaster, but had one of his most least effective games in recent memory. And that's just kind of worth pointing out there because he's been so good for the team this year. For Jetty, he just had a few moments in this game where he looked lost and played like a rookie. This is fine because rookies do that, and he's a rookie with just a handful of experiences, so that's not a big deal. But for instance, on one Wade post-up or ISO, depending on what the classification of the play would be, he didn't really know where to cut or not, and you could tell he was kind of unsure. He blew a shot at the rim. He had a dumb foul on Marco Bellinelli on a three-point attempt. He did rookie things. I think it's overall fine, but just a reminder that he's not perfect right now. I think the hype for him is real. I think that the outline of a good NBA player is there, but it's not quite there yet. Stat of the game for me is a combination of things, so it's going to be stats of the game. You had Kevin Love in this game doing a lot of good work inside, LeBron doing a lot of work good inside, and that led to the Cavs shooting 79.2% at the rim. And from three, they shot 46.2% overall from three per cleaning the glass. Combined, that accounted for 80% of the Cavs' shots. This isn't quite the Rockets' efficiency and their discrepancy in their shot profile, but this is the type of outline that this shows the Cavs valuing the higher efficiency shots. They're valuing threes, they're valuing shots inside. They're not abandoning the mid-range, but it's not as common of a thing. They've had frameworks of this before. Kyrie was a mid-range player, and Love is going to do some work out of the mid-range. But the Celtics, for instance, in their game, shot about 34% of their shots in the mid-range. The Cavs are way lower than that, and you see a team here that is trying to prioritize rim shots, three-point shots, and is doing a good job of getting those looks and is converting the last two games. Their offense remains good. Even when they were struggling to start the year, the offense was still pretty good. And I think this is a big reason why. Player of the game, look, LeBron James. Dwayne Wade deserves credit. Him and LeBron actually combined for a Shaqton moment in this game that you can go find where they just blew a fast break. But LeBron was just everywhere in this game. He had the two blocks, he had the steals, he had the 12 assists, he got to the rim whenever he wanted. LeBron dominated and orchestrated this game. The Hawks had no answer for him. He just destroyed them in every kind of opportunity with what he was doing, and he was a difference maker just in the utmost sense of the word. There's a point in this game where the Cavs went 6 minutes in the fourth quarter without a bucket, and LeBron takes this absurd three, makes it, and they're fine. And that is just what he does. And when this team has him, he can save you against on nights where you weren't otherwise perfect. So the Cavs are back on Saturday against the Memphis Grizzlies. That is a Grizzlies team coming into town with a lot going on, a lot of drama for the Memphis Grizzlies, with David Fizdale being fired and some of the drama surrounding Marcus Gasol. We will have a full recap of that. We'll also have a pod on Saturday giving you a couple of things to watch in that game, but full recap on Saturday, quick preview on Saturday, full preview on Sunday, recap on Sunday. But as always, Locked On Cavs, you can find it on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get podcasts. We appreciate everyone who listens and supports the show. The show is for you, the Cavs fan, and we appreciate everything you do to help make the show great. Again, go get the King X the Killer t-shirt. You can find that link in the show notes. Subscribe on iTunes, leave a 5-star rating and review, and check out all episodes of Locked On Cavs. And we'll be there Monday through Friday, and weekend game coverage as well this season. Again, Cavs win 121-114. I'm Chris Manning, your host, runforthesword.com. Find me on Twitter at CWMWrights. Find the pod on Twitter at Locked On Cavs. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow with a quick Grizzlies-Cavs preview.